everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, November the 7th, 2013. We are live each weekday, 12.04 to 1, right here on Tucson's Intelligent Voice. It's AM 1030 KVOI, and we stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, so you can hear the program at your leisure, wherever you are, and you can also hear the program anytime, anywhere by visiting buckmastershow.com. We also put a podcast on tucsoncitizen.com and tucsonsentinel.com as well, and we have a new addition, a new media partner. Inside Tucson Business now has a link on their homepage to the Buckmaster Show, as does the Green Valley News and Blog for Arizona. During the noon hour, a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. At 12:30, a preview of the 40th anniversary edition of Tucson's sci-fi, fantasy, and horror convention known as Tuscan. That's right, and not a mispronunciation. It's Tuscan 40 this weekend. Then we'll close out the show with attorney Don Luce, the legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now Tucson City Councilman Democrat Steve Kasachek, who didn't have a lot of drama on election night since he was running unopposed. Councilman, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Yeah, the biggest drama was arguing with my wife about what tie I was supposed to wear. But that gets rather dramatic, as you may well know.
Yeah, it's very interesting, of course. We hear so much grumbling on talk shows and social media in this town, calling the city of Tucson the Detroit of the Southwest, being a horrible place to do business. The critics are also very quick to tell you Tucson has the eighth highest poverty rate in the country. Yet when half of the Tucson City Council is up for reelection, they all win reelection easily. How do you figure?
Easily is the operative word. You know, you can spout statistics all day long, but if you want to really get an empirical picture of what's going on, walk through the downtown core sometime. You'll see over 30 new restaurants, 25 or 30 new retail shops. We've got about a dozen arts and cultural projects going on, office space, about 1,000 new beds for student housing. I mean, there's a virtual renaissance going on down there, and it's really been kickstarted in the last 3 or 4 years. We have economic development incentive toolkits in place right now out of both the mayor's office and the city manager's office. Those are relatively new. We have about $60 to $80 million in private sector construction going vertical right now in the downtown core, and another $100 million in the pipeline for 2014. So, you know, I just think, you know, you can turn on some of the talk radio and hear the guys who like to just bash. I think people are tired of the negative energy that comes out of those shows, and too many people know better that we've turned a corner and we are doing some good things. And you know, Richard Fimbres won by 20 points, Karen won by 17 or 18 points. Those are big numbers, and that's a validation that even though we went through a really, really tough time in 2008, 2009, 2010, and we have some challenges ahead, let's not sugarcoat the thing. There are budget challenges that are, you know, we still have to face. But despite that, we've continued to keep our eye on the ball, and we've created jobs, we've created businesses, and we have a good story to tell. And I think people are just tired of hearing the negativity, especially when they can see to the contrary. I'm focusing on the downtown core. If Richard were on the show right now, Fimbres, he would be talking about some of the Costco and some of the development he's got going on as well. And it's not just simply located in one area, but I'm focused on downtown because that's a part of Ward 6.
What about this Detroit business? Aren't you from Michigan?
From Ann Arbor, yeah. I'm a Tigers fan and all that. Yeah. And listen, I held a forum at the Ward 6 office, I guess it was about a week ago. And I invited three experts in pension. That's where the Detroit comparison comes in private sector pensions and public sector, and to meet with our finance people. I had the mayor there, the city manager, our finance CFO. some of our pension people, ours being the cities. In addition to that, from the outside, I had a Dr. June Peng, who has written a book on public sector pensions. Daisy Jenkins, who is a former HR director and pension person for both Carondelet and Raytheon, and Igor Shigolev, who is right now a pension guy for Carondelet. We spoke for 2 hours, Bill, and when the private sector pension people who I had invited in as guests walked away, their conclusion was because of two things. Number one, the state law is what controls what the public safety pension, and so there's very little we can do with that. And contract law controls the non-public safety employees. They said that we have made some good changes, and there's very little that we can do without violating contract law in terms of changing people's pensions. And quite frankly, much of the reason you hear the underfunded liabilities, much of that is a result of the same thing that happened to your portfolio and mine and everybody's when the market plunged back in 2007 and 8 and 6. There will be a little bit of self-correcting going on. There will be more self-correcting when we hire more employees. Right now, the ratio is about 1-to-1 in terms of the number of employees that we have receiving benefits to the number of employees who are paying into the system. So as we hire more employees, and quite bluntly, as some of the people, retirees, die off and that ratio changes, there are some self-correcting elements in that. So the Detroit comparison, it's a nice soundbite, but it's so much more complex an issue than just saying, look, Detroit equals Tucson, and therefore everything's bad. Some of us are actually studying this stuff, and instead of sitting in front of microphones throwing stones.
You know, beating up on each other. Have the people that are beating up constantly on Tucson, would you say they have become almost marginalized?
I think they're irrelevant. I mean, you know, you can worry about the color of the sign in front of your business or the number of parking spaces you got, but if you've got a lousy product, no one's going to buy it. And I think that's what people saw during this most recent election, is the Pima GOP just selling negativity has made itself irrelevant and out of touch with the values and what is happening in this community. I think that message was validated in this most recent election.
790-2040, 790-2040. Councilman Kasacek is always willing to entertain your questions or comments. Perhaps you disagree with him that Tucson is indeed a really horrible place to do business. Let us hear from you at 790-2040. These two kind of housekeeping propositions easily passed, 401 and 402, 2-to-1 margins on those.
And I think that's it's more of the validation. I mean, we heard going into this some of the people who were saying vote no on, for instance, the spending increase. We don't want to give the city any more money because they keep wasting it. Well, the people who actually studied the issue and recognized that this wasn't a tax increase, it was simply saying that when we get to the point, and we will, that because of the tax receipts that we are generating as a result of the economic development, when those receipts exceed the state-mandated spending limit that has been in place for 2.5 decades, then all this override was allowing us to do is spend the dollars that we generate, new dollars that we generate through economic development in the fiscal year in which they occur, instead of having to set it in the cookie jar and wait until the next fiscal year. That's all that was. So when people came out and said, yeah, Tucson just, you know, the city council just wastes our money and we don't want them to have, you know, no more tax increase, it was just missing the point. The point was very simple, and the vast majority of the people understood it, and that was you're generating sales tax increase because of what you're doing in the with private sector development. We want you, local government, to be able to pay for roads and fire and police and parks and IT and all the stuff that we're responsible for paying for, and therefore it simply makes intuitive sense to let you spend those dollars as you earn them. That was one. The other one was the general plan, and the general plan was just that. You called it housekeeping. That's very, very much true. The state legislature mandates that we as a jurisdiction have every 10 years a new general plan. It's a 30,000-foot view of where we kind of want to go as a city. We held hundreds and hundreds of hours of meetings as a city staff out in the community. And the business community was supporting this. The base was supporting this. The residential areas were supporting it. The university was. it was, again, just that marginalized group of people who just want to say something, just, you know, throw the negative energy into a conversation. Again, as you said, the vast majority of the people said, yeah, go for it.
I wanted to ask you about, we put so much emphasis, Steve Kasachek, on downtown. I saw actually a campaign sign in someone's yard saying, don't forget about the rest of the city. I thought that was pretty good.
Sure. And that's why I said a few minutes ago, if you had Richard on the show, Fambers on the show, he'd be talking about the work going on in his ward. Last night at the council meeting, we adopted some planned area development out on the Far East Side. That's going to be hundreds of jobs and millions of dollars worth of private sector development as it comes up vertical. That was out in Paul Cunningham's ward. You know, I focus on the downtown core for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's in Ward 6. Number two, that really is where the buzz is happening. When I ran the first time in 2009, we had the really ugly, legitimately ugly history of Rio Nuevo. That's where that ugliness was focused, because that's where the Rio Nuevo district exists. Since then, we have pushed off the state legislature in terms of $72 million in litigation that, the truth be known, they pushed through the then Rio Nuevo board to sue the taxpayers of this city. Those have either both been washed out through our settlement agreement, or the Auditor General found no harm, no foul in terms of the litigation. I'll circle back to that comment, though, because I don't want people to think I'm saying Rio Nuevo was a good thing 10 years ago. But what we have now is a good relationship with the Rio Nuevo Board. I'm sitting on a committee that's managing the project of renovation of the Tucson Convention Center. And Rio put about $8 million into that renovation. And I and the rest of the people on this committee understand that we have one chance to get this right, to help to re-earn the trust of the community, saying that the city and Rio can work well together. And so we are managing this project very carefully. As far as the comment about the no harm, no foul, the Auditor General correctly pointed out, Bill, that there was gross financial mismanagement in the 10 years preceding my election onto the council between the city and the then Rio Nuevo board. The board is gone. A council member was voted out of office. We have a new city manager. We have a new assistant city manager, a new mayor. I mean, the whole terrain has changed. We have a new Rio Nuevo board, and we've got a good functional working relationship with them.
All right.
So recently, the Auditor General said, since you're trying to get to a break, so I'll say this really quickly. The Auditor General said, yes, there was gross mismanagement. There were no dots to connect to criminal activity. That's the pound of flesh people were after.
Okay, Steve Kasachek is going to stay with us through the break. We have a couple of folks on the Buckmaster Show live line that want to talk with Steve. So we will take a break right here, and we ask you to support these people who support the Buckmaster Show that you will hear from right now. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Looking for a family-friendly outing? Gather up the kids and head to the Desert Museum for the Beth Nielsen Chapman Concert on November 16th.
The greatest journey you'll ever find.
After the concert, enjoy Mighty Sky Night when the museum stays open till 10 p.m. for astronomy-inspired activities and nocturnal animal presentations. Chapman is an internationally acclaimed singer-songwriter. Songs from her Parents' Choice award-winning album, The Mighty Sky, use melodies and lyrics to highlight the wonders of the solar system.
Listen up, children, got a story to tell. There's music out in space ringing clear as a bell.
Chapman will also perform her biggest hits, like This Kiss and Happy Girl, made famous by Faith Hill and Martina McBride. Tickets for this musical adventure are only $10 for children and $20 for adults for the 3 p.m. matinee performance. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to desertmuseum.org and click on the Mighty Sky icon.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and we go to the Buckmaster Show live line with Christopher for Councilman Steve Kasachek. Go ahead, Christopher.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Bill.
You're welcome.
Yes, Councilman Kasachek, thanks for being on the show. I voted for you. I'm a Republican in the last two elections. I live in the Highland Vista neighborhood, which I know you know very well. You've done some very good things. I like the fact that you've taken on the potholes over the years. Rio Nuevo, you've taken a great stance on. You took on 911 when it needed to be cleaned up. You pushed the initiative of 401ks versus pensions, which didn't get anywhere. You're pro-business, and I voted for you for this election and the last election. And the other night on the news, the broadcast said that you were quoted as saying is that this council is going to kick butt. And I don't know if that was true, if you really did say that or not, but my question to you is, are you finding new allegiance or new thought with Ulrich, who I know would release funds for you to deal with potholes? You know, essentially my question is, are you going to represent me, or are you going to go along the line of Fimbres and Romero and Ulrich, who I find are very ineffectual and lack pro-business initiatives? Are you transitioning, or are you going to represent me?
Good question. I changed parties in January, I believe. Since then, we've gone through a budget cycle. and we were discussing raises, we were discussing pensions, you know, that whole compensation thing, and Christopher, I was on the losing end of those votes. You will see a story coming out in the Star in the next couple of days, I suspect. I can't tell you when they run them, but you're going to see more discussion about how we're managing our funds. And my position is that we have to manage your funds, because they are your funds, even more responsibly than we do our own household funds or private businesses' funds, because we're spending somebody else's dollars, whether it's raises, deferred maintenance, hiring more police or fixing the roads. We can't necessarily just say, well, guess what? We see a light at the end of the tunnel, therefore we can start spending like drunken sailors. You're not going to see a change in that. I mean, that is a core of what I've been about. It's been responsibly looking at our checkbook and seeing what we can afford, what we can't afford. So, the quote was along the lines of, I'm going to continue to defend. You know how the media works, and as you get a 6-second soundbite out of a 15-minute conversation, that was in the context of, you know, we fought off Rio Nuevo when the state was trying to sue us. We fought off the state legislature multiple times when they were trying to take over home rule issues, and we're going to continue to do that. And you won't see a change in that. The same thing was true with the 911, and that was arguing with staff. At the time, the then city manager, who essentially said, mind my own business, and my answer was no, not going to do that. It's a public safety issue.
All right. Councilman Kasacek, Mark is up next on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment to Steve Kasacek. Sir, right now you were talking about 401 and 402, and you kind of alluded to the fact that the city voted it overwhelmingly, which is fine. But that's not a mandate for the city council. And I think what you were alluding to is that because everybody voted for that, all of a sudden everybody is satisfied with the city council. And the way you characterized it was that there's a small marginalized group. And I just don't think that's accurate, because there's a lot of people that are in the city that are not business owners that are seeing all these things that the city council is doing that are affecting us negatively, like the failure with Grand Canyon University, Timo Mine, you guys don't want those jobs. There's numerous things that have been going on in the city. As most specifically, one thing that I'd like to address with you and hear you comment on is the Tucson Greyhound Park. Because I recently had a discussion with the general manager that was over there at the Tucson Greyhound Park. He specifically told me that he told you in a conversation that if you close down Tucson Greyhound Park, you're going to lose about 140, 150 jobs. And your response to him was, so what? We don't care. I'd just like to hear what you have to say about that.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Go ahead, Councilman.
Well, you covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
First of all, if it were not a marginalized small group of people, you wouldn't have seen a 20-point swing in the most recent election. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. I'm not even going to get into the whole Grand Canyon and I think you meant Rosemont, not Pima Mine, because that's you landed on Greyhound Park. I think you're talking about Tom Taylor, who is no longer the general manager out there. He was let go by the owners, so his credibility is instantly in question. I've never had a conversation with the current general manager, who, by the way, also has a credibility problem, because he was running that place when hundreds of dogs were found dead out in the desert as a result of some poorly planned transportation, if I may. 140 jobs out of Tucson Greyhound Park. Go out there sometime on a Friday or Saturday night. You'll see a dozen people in grandstands. That place operates and exists for two reasons. Number one, they get state subsidies that your tax money is going, Mark, to subsidize that place. And number two, they only exist for off-track betting. That place is not operating on a high profit margin, because people are going out there placing their bets. They treat the dogs poorly. If you treated your animals that way, you'd be cited correctly for animal cruelty. I think it's a horrendous industry, and I will do what I can to make sure those dogs are treated properly.
All right, I've only got about a minute left with Councilman Kasacek.
Can I pick a topic for that?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Topic of the day. Go ahead.
Okay, Loft Film Festival this weekend starts tonight and goes through next Monday. And the reason I'm bringing it up is that on Sunday, my brother Pete is in town. He was the director of photography for Nightmare Before Christmas. It was an Oscar award-winning, nominated show when it came out. And he will be doing a screening on Sunday at 2 at the Loft, and afterwards do a Q&A. Anybody who supports the local film industry and is interested in hearing about the Tim Burton films and how they're put together, Pete's going to be doing what I expect to be a pretty interesting Q&A after the show on Sunday at 2.
And I want to put a plug in. Also, we had Bob Shelton, the legendary film Tucson film industry man, on our show yesterday. We did a half hour with Mr. Shelton talking about Tucson movie history. That's on our website, buckmastershow.com.
You know, Bill, if there's one thing that we can get done in the next 4 years as a council, it is to put together an incentive package locally to help revitalize the film industry in this region. The state legislature has failed to do it the last two sessions. I don't think the numbers are there to get it done at the state level this time, even though there was bipartisan support. But if we can do it locally and start showing people, in fact, we've got a film shooting here in town right now, Hot Bass, Stiff Drink, and they're filming their sequel here. They came in January, shot for 20 days. Okay. They dropped $1.5 million. Wow. They're back again.
All right. Steve Kasacek, have a great afternoon.
Thanks,
weekend.
Bill.
Thanks.
Take care.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Senate has passed the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. ENDA, as it's called, outlaws workplace discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. The bill's expected to hit a brick wall in the House, where Speaker John Boehner has already expressed his opposition to it. Police in Detroit have arrested a man they describe as a person of interest in yesterday evening's fatal shooting of three men in a back gambling room of a barber shop. The shooting also left six other people wounded. The White House says world powers negotiating with Iran are pursuing an agreement that would offer some sanctions relief if Iran halts and possibly reverses parts of its nuclear program. Stocks lower on Wall Street. The Dow down 113 points. The NASDAQ is off 61. More details at srnnews.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Stop by the Rug Gallery showroom and see one-of-a-kind new and antique quality rugs during the 26th anniversary sale now underway. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at ruggalleryaz.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right, you get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Thursday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just three and a half hours east of Tucson, and it's a great environment over there. And they have their Fiber Arts Festival, everything to do with fiber. That will be coming up a week from this weekend. Great places to stay, including Georgetown Cabins, Burrow Mountain Homestead Park RV, and Spirit Canyon Lodge. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. We send lots of our Buckmaster Show listeners over to Silver City. They have a great time over there. The 40th anniversary of Tucson's own sci-fi, fantasy, and horror convention known as Tuscan, yes, I'm not mispronouncing Tucson, begins on Friday and runs through Sunday at Hotel Tucson City Center in downtown. Joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show, Brian Gross is here. Brian, a longtime member of the Tuscan Planning Committee. And Jeffrey Notkin is also here. Jeff is host of the Science Channel's award-winning adventure series, The Meteorite Men. He is also an internationally recognized authority on meteorites, award-winning author and photographer, musician, world traveler, and adventurer, and loves Tucson, has been coming to Tucson for many years and actually has a home here. Jeffrey is one of the celebrity guests featured at the Tuscan Convention. Jeff will speak at noon on Saturday. Jeff and Brian, thanks both for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much, Bill.
Pleasure, Bill. Thank you for inviting us.
Brian, how'd this convention come about? And it's really grown, hasn't it, in stature?
It actually has. We've got an excellent reputation in the professional, the writers and artists community, because, well, we've been at it for 40 years now. This is going to be our 40th anniversary. Got started in the early 70s with the desire to be able to get people together who enjoy science fiction, fantasy, horror, because at that time, without the internet, there wasn't a good way for people to connect. They were often separated and, you know, thinking that they were the only ones among their friends that liked this sort of thing. So having conventions actually has a way to get people to come together and share ideas.
And Jeff, this is going to be a big one. You were mentioning me during the break. There's a film that sounds very interesting to me that's going to be shown, actually, at the convention.
It's true, and that's tomorrow night. It is the Arizona premiere of Radio Free Albemuth. And science fiction enthusiasts will certainly know the author of the book, Philip Dick, who wrote Blade Runner, Total Recall, Minority Report, Adjustment Bureau, many other fantastic books and stories that have been made into successful films. So I'm an associate producer on the film, and I am delighted to announce that the writer-director, John Alan Simon, will be in attendance tomorrow night for the premiere, and he will be doing a question and answer session afterwards. So I really encourage science fiction fans and indie film fans to check this one out.
How did you get interested in meteors and meteorites, and what you've traveled the world in search of these objects? What's kind of the prime, is there a holy grail of places to go to get meteorites?
I'd have to say, actually, that Arizona is one of them. And for several reasons, we've got the magnificent meteor crater here near Flagstaff. The Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, of course, every February is the largest gathering of meteorite and fossil and mineral collectors in the world. There are many great sites on the planet. Meteorites can fall randomly anywhere on the surface of our Earth. And I'd say, of all the places I've been in my searching, Australia was probably the most magnificent. And that is a vast and relatively untouched country. And we look for old surfaces where meteorites could have landed, could have been collecting for thousands or even millions of years. And there's a lot of undisturbed ground in Australia.
What resonated with you about this particular subject at a young age, I assume?
It's true. I was smitten as a little boy. My father was an amateur astronomer, and my mother was a great believer in learning outside of the classroom. So she was forever taking me to the Natural History Museum in London, where I grew up, and the Geological Museum. And when I was about 6 or 7, I encountered meteorites for the first time in a museum. And it really was an epiphany, because I was already interested in rocks and fossils and minerals and astronomy. And to me, meteorites is where they all meet. So I was bitten by the meteorite bug at an early age, and it still has not let go.
Jeff Notkin is with us. He's host of the Science Channel's award-winning adventure series, The Meteorite Man. Jeff will be speaking at noon on Saturday at the Tuscan Convention. Brian Gross is here as well. Brian, how has this, this attracts, I guess, people from all over the world come to this event, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And from all different walks of life, too. Because we are a general purpose, all-volunteer convention, we're not focused on any one particular aspect of fandom. So we actually are very inclusive, and we try to share everything. And this is a good way for somebody who's interested in one part to see some other parts of fandom and see if they're interested in that as well.
And it's not all sci-fi. I mean, some science behind a lot of
this,
right?
Absolutely. Right, we always make sure that we have a track of programming where we bring in scientists from the University of Arizona in particular and talk about what's going on in astronomy, especially with the Kitt Peak astronomers. And as a matter of fact, a lot of them are often writers and fans of science fiction themselves. So this is a great meeting place for them.
Lots of folks probably saw the footage, Jeff Notkin, of the meteorites streaking through the skies of Los Angeles. People wonder, I'm sure, could we have another extinction event like we had 60, 65 million years ago?
We certainly could. And I am pleased to say that events such as the spectacular fireball that was witnessed over Russia in February of this year, Chelyabinsk, have been something of a wake-up call for governments. And there are many groups out there. The B612 Foundation with astronaut Ed Liu is one of them, who are actively engaged in looking for potentially dangerous asteroids. And I like their tagline, which is finding asteroids before they find us. And in
I like that too.
Well, we need to take these threats seriously.
We do. And I viewed for the first time that movie Deep Impact, and I don't really know when it came out, maybe about 8-10 years ago, but they actually send a spacecraft up and blow up an extinction type meteor that's headed for Earth. And I wonder how much of that is sci-fi.
I should mention that in March of this year, I attended the Planetary Defense Conference in Flagstaff, which really sounds like a science fiction event, but in fact is a science event.
Yeah.
And I must say, Brian, I do really applaud you bringing science fiction enthusiasts and scientists together at these events, because we share these interests. And this is amply demonstrated at events like the Planetary Defense Conference, where people cook up ideas and they throw around ideas and they go, well, look, here's a plan I came up with for a way that we might deflect incoming asteroids. Mm-hmm. And we do need to brainstorm, and we do need to come up with better ideas and better technology, because the day will come, hopefully not in our lifetimes, but the day will come when the Earth will be threatened by debris, by by cosmic debris, and if we're not prepared for it, we will be destroyed.
Hopefully none of them will be sneaking up on us. At least we'll have a little bit of time. Brian, getting back to the nuts and bolts, some of our listeners might be interested in attending. How do they do that?
Absolutely. Just come down to the Hotel City Center, which is at St. Mary's in Granada, and they can just come right on in starting Friday about noontime. And get a membership to the convention, either one day or the entire convention, as you please, as what your time allows. And we are very welcoming to have you come on in with us.
And there'll be vendors there as well for all sorts of cool stuff?
Oh, absolutely. We have a dealer's room with various different articles of interest, as well as books and especially. And also on top of that, we have an art show. And where you can actually bid on the art as well. We have our best-selling author guest of honor is Juliet Blackwell, and as well as our artist guest of honor is going to be Jessica Feinberg. And we even have a musical guest, the Bedlam Bards.
How about the schedule? Is it on the web?
It is, indeed. You can get to our website. It's called TuscanSciFiCon.com.
Okay.
And from there, you could even use PayPal and pre-register.
All right. Jeff Notkin and Brian Gross, thank you both very much for being with us. Good luck. And folks can come out and see Jeff and say hi at noon on Saturday. And again, that film screening, Jeff,
is 9 p.m. tomorrow night, Radio Free Albemuth with writer-director John Allen Simon.
All right. And that will be at Hotel Tucson City Center in downtown. The convention runs through Sunday. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much, Bill.
All right. Coming up next on Loose in the House, our legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show. How about these medical marijuana users, some 40,000 of them in Arizona? Are they going to be banned from driving in the Grand Canyon State? We're going to ask the counselor, Don Luce, about that next as we continue on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Immerse yourself in the wonders of science with the new UA SciPass. Explore Flandreau Science Center, Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, and Biosphere 2 at a 36% total savings by purchasing your UA SciPass for only $30. This VIP pass will be available for a limited time and is brought to you in partnership with UA Bookstore and can be purchased by visiting b2science.org. Visit these science wonders today with the new UA SciPass.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. I do want to mention we have Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild as our Friday Focus interview on the show tomorrow at 12:04. So we'll talk a little bit more about this week's election. But now on to Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. We are honored that he is such. And we are also honored to have him with us today. He is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me back.
It would not be a Don Luce session on the Buckmaster Show if we would not be talking about the implications of the medical marijuana law.
Well, certainly not for the past several years. That is true.
It has been crazy. And now, what is this about? Will 40,000 Arizona residents who are legal marijuana users be banned from driving in the Grand Canyon State?
That's the issue.
Could that happen?
Possibly.
Okay.
And it also applies to out-of-state drivers. Now, your listeners will remember that Washington and Colorado have legalized the recreational use of marijuana. So it's more than just Arizonans. But to set the context for this case, which is before the Arizona Supreme Court, the legislature has a very comprehensive DUI statute. Arizona is considered by many to be the leader in DUI law. And under this DUI statute, it's illegal to drive or to be in physical control of a vehicle while under the influence of alcohol or any drug, or within 2 hours of having an alcohol concentration of 0.08 or more, or, and this is the one that applies, while there is any illegal drug or metabolite in the body.
Now, okay, that's very subjective, though, isn't it?
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Okay.
Carboxy, THC, is a secondary metabolite of marijuana, and it can remain in the body for up to 30 days. So, under the DUI statute, anyone who has this metabolite is prohibited from operating a motor vehicle. This is at direct odds with the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, which allows, as you pointed out, approximately 40,000 Arizonans to legally use medical marijuana. So a person who uses marijuana today will probably have some secondary metabolite of marijuana in his or her body a month from now. So if they get stopped for a traffic infraction during any time frame or period when they have this metabolite present in their body, they have violated the DUI statute, even though they're not under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Now, the Arizona Supreme Court listened to arguments from the Deputy Maricopa County Attorney saying that the statute ought to be given effect, even though it was acknowledged that the presence of this metabolite doesn't necessarily indicate that someone is impaired. And the opponents of this statute say, no, you have to draw the line somewhere. I listened to parts of the oral argument. Chief Justice Rebecca Birch had some questions for the state's attorney, which were kind of interesting. And one of her questions was, well, what if technology advances to the point where we can detect this a year after the medical marijuana was used, or even 5 years later?
Yeah.
So where do you draw the line?
Right.
It's an interesting case. I don't know how it's going to turn out. Proponents of the law say it's up to the legislature to decide, that they make policy decisions. And the opponents of the law say, no, in this case, it's not rationally related to the purpose of the statute, which is to protect the public from impaired drivers. I don't know where it's going to come out. It's under consideration by the Supreme Court, but the arguments were made this week.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We'll see how that one goes. The state Supreme Court asked to restore the increased campaign contributions. Right now, candidates for legislative races can take no more than about, well, $440 from any one source or political action committee. The cap is $912 for statewide races. Don Luce, the legislation raised both of those dramatically.
It did. It raised the $440 to $4,000, and it also eliminated the $14,000 cap on how much candidates can take from all PACs every election cycle. So here's what happened. The legislature increased the amounts, and the Court of Appeals affirmed an injunction saying we're not going to let the new law go into effect, and so therefore we're back to the old law, which, as you pointed out, is no more than $440 from any one source or political action committee, and a cap of $912 for statewide races. The people who say that the new law ought to be given effect are claiming that the old statute deprives them of their First Amendment freedom of expression, that this is political speech, and that the loss of these First Amendment freedoms for even a minimal period constitute irreparable injury, which is what a plaintiff needs to show in order to have an injunction. So this case is another classic example of legislature versus court, the two prongs of government that go head-to-head in Arizona on a regular basis.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have two callers waiting to speak with Don Luce. Dan is up first. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, thank you. You're talking about the metabolite hanging around for a while when it may or may not cause any impairment, but the fact that we lowered the standard a few years ago because of federal government pushing us to 0.08 for alcohol, I was involved in some tests in the Navy years ago showing that 0.8 would not affect anybody's driving or impairment. As a matter of fact, 1.4 didn't affect anybody, and this is all a political push to get more money and to get more female votes. Go ahead.
Okay, Dan. Here's Don Luce.
The National Highway Transportation Safety Board has issued the results of some scientific testing, and I believe that the 0.08 level is a level at which scientists agree that a person is impaired, however minimally, by alcohol. And so in order to get federal funding, you're right, Arizona adopted essentially the federal standard. Between 0.05 and 0.08, there's really no presumption. At 0.08 and above, the presumption is that you're under the influence of alcohol. And that presumption is very hard to overcome. So it is what it is. And 0.08, by the way, can be achieved differently by men than women. Men have a greater ability to metabolize alcohol than women do. So it would take fewer drinks for a woman to hit 0.08 than it would for a man of comparable weight.
Let's see if we can get Ingrid in real quickly. Ingrid, I've only got about a minute with Don Luce.
Okay. So is there some metabolite level of marijuana that deems a person to be incapacitated. I never hear anybody talk about that.
Yeah, well, that's because the legislature in the DUI statute doesn't talk about what level. It simply says if there is any metabolite in the body, it is illegal to operate a motor vehicle. And the court is looking at that prong of the statute to determine if it's constitutional or not, because in order to uphold that statute, the court would have to find a rational relationship between that requirement and the purpose of the statute, which is to protect the public from impaired drivers. I don't know that it exists. I think Chief Justice Rebecca Birch hit the nail on the head, and that is, where do you draw the line? How far back in time do you go in order to find somebody in violation of the DUI statute?
And you cover some of this in Arizona Laws 101.
I do. In fact, the very first chapter of the handbook is Driving Under the Influence. It is a very important and very controversial law because, as I said, Arizona is at the forefront of DUI prosecutions and case law.
All right, Don Luce. Don, thank you very much. And again, folks can get Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. They can obtain these books where, Don Luce?
Any retail store statewide or Amazon.com.
Don, always a pleasure. We will look forward to your visit usually, and we pretty much have a firm date, the first Thursday of the month on the Buckmaster Show. Don, thanks very much.
Thanks, Bill. I'll see you next month.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show supplied by Culligan Better Water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show right here on AM 1030 KVOI, 3 to 5. For John's show, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, 6 to 8. And then we are on with the mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, at 12:04 tomorrow afternoon. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Good afternoon and have a great evening.